It's lovely to have you here today. Looking forward to worshipping together. There's all sorts of things happening in the next few weeks, and I've got two people who are going to tell you about two of them right now. So Ruth, first of all, tell us what's happening in November.
Good morning. On the 17th of November, we're going to be having a quiz night here in the church, like we did in January, where we had Janie Lee Grace come and do an evening. And it's basically an evening to bring friends along who maybe haven't come to church before, maybe are interested in finding out more. So we'll be doing the quiz night on the 17th of November, and after that we'll be doing a course which is called Tales of the Unexpected that people can sign up to find out more about Christianity. If you would like to go to either the quiz night or you have friends that might want to come along to the course, then if you go to the website, there's a link there that you can sign up for. You can either sign up by yourself or you can sign up as a team of six. And if you want to invite any friends along, then please start to pray about who you could invite along. At the quiz night, we will have Dave 40 giving his testimony as part of the evening. And we have a quiz master who is planning lots of exciting rounds, hopefully. So it should be a really good, relaxed evening and a good opportunity to bring people along who aren't used to church. So thank you.
Thank you. And that's not the only thing happening in November. Joe, where are you?
Good morning, everybody. On Saturday, the 23rd of November, we're having a bazaar. I did mention it before, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the Saturday. A few of you have already volunteered to help, but we could do with a few more volunteers. We're hoping to set up on the Friday evening, make sure everything's ready Saturday morning. We'll need a few more people helping serve on stalls and to clean up afterwards. If that doesn't appeal to you, but you're good at designing things, we could do with somebody to design a nice eye-catching poster. The stalls we're hoping to have, some children's things, some domestic kitchen things, fancy goods, jewellery, some plants, books and puzzles, crafts, cakes and puddings, and decorations and cards. Now, some of you, again, have volunteered and started to collect and make and prepare things. But if you haven't already volunteered and would like to put your name forward and make some sort of pledge about helping or producing things for sale, Beryl and I will be in this region at the end of the service. Come and see us. And yes, and if you can't do any of the helping, for goodness sake, put it in your diary, come along and buy something and have some of the refreshments, which will be prepared by Dot and her lovely team. So thank you.
Thank you. This is why you should never read over somebody's shoulder. I knew that that was Joe's list of stalls. When I saw children, I thought, no, we're not selling children. That would not be a good thing to do, I fear. Just one other thing to let you know about tomorrow, two opportunities to pray together. 11:30, we pray together for 40 minutes. That happens every Monday. And then tomorrow evening at 8, we'll be together to pray for an hour. And would love to see some of you at either of those. Let's stand up together. We're going to listen to John the Baptist, a man who really knew what he was talking about, describe what Jesus was all about. So here he is, looking forward to Jesus coming. This is what he says. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me, this is Jesus describing now, after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire when he comes.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, found through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Striving cease, my comfort.
Standing for a minute as we pray. Father, here in the power of Christ I stand. What a group of imperfect people. What a group of people with things that need to be forgiven and things that need to be put right and striving to be yours and not always succeeding. And yet, here in the power of Christ we stand. Father, for your great forgiveness, for your unending grace, for your immeasurable love, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do sit down. Now, with one or two things going on in the past few weeks, with the dedication and with Harvest, it seems like quite a long time since I've actually had this box out and had a proper story inside it. So come and have a look, because I've got one today. I've been itching to tell you this one for quite a long time, and it's never been quite the right day, but I think today it might be. So I've got just two things in here today. Let's have a look, shall we? Here's the first one. Now,
jester hat.
I was going to say, what kind of person would wear a hat like that?
A jester.
A jester, yeah, or a fool. They used to call him a fool. So another king would have a jester or a fool who'd make him laugh, but make him think as well. So there's a jester's hat. Put that there for a minute. And there's something else. Now, you need to use your imagination just a little bit, because the real lamp that I'm talking about, can you see this metal here? That was gold. And where there's a yellow panel there, that was amber cut into very thin slices. And where it was red, that was sapphire, that was rubies cut into very thin slices. Where it was green, that was emeralds cut into very... So really, really precious things. I sorry I haven't got the actual one here, but I want you to imagine this lamp made of gold, with all those really precious stones in it, okay? So, the story is about a king and his jester, or his fool. We'll call him his fool for the story. Now, a long time ago, this king lived in a land far away. It wasn't a huge kingdom, but it was nice. It had mountains and rivers and fields and villages. And everybody loved him. He was a good king. And he had a fool who made him laugh. And he really loved him, because if he was having a bad day, the fool would come into the court and he'd tell him some funny story and it'd make him laugh. And sometimes if he was in a bit of a grump, the fool would tell him a story and it'd make him laugh at himself. And that was good too. Or sometimes when he couldn't quite get his head round what to do, the fool would ask him some good question and it would make it all seem right for him. So the king one day decided, I want to give him a really, really special present. He's so helpful to me and I love him so much. I want to give him something really special. So he spoke to all the very, very best craftsmen in the land. And it took them a few months, but they made this beautiful lantern made out of gold with all those precious stones. And the day came when the king gathered everyone in his throne room, because he wanted everybody to see this. Everybody was there. The lords and ladies and the important people and the musicians and the soldiers all gathered round. And he summoned the fool to walk up to his throne. And he gave him this beautiful lantern. He said, I'm giving this to you because you're such a help to me. He said, if ever you find a fool who's greater than you, you pass it on to them. Well, the years went by and the king got older and older and older. And it reached the time when he was just about at the end of his life. He couldn't get out of bed anymore. And he sent for his fool to come and visit him because he thought, well, he'll cheer me up. And they chatted. And then the fool said to the king, Your Majesty said, have you sorted everything out between you and God? Are you ready to go and look God in the eye and talk to him? Have you asked Jesus to be your saviour and to forgive all the things you've done that you shouldn't have done? The king shook his head. And at that point, the fool took out the lantern and he gave it back to him. He said, Your Majesty, when you gave me this, you said, if ever I find a fool greater than myself, I should give it to him. So he said, I'm giving it to you. Because if you haven't sorted things out with God, then you're the bigger fool than me. See, it doesn't matter how important you are. It doesn't matter whether you're in charge of your toys or in charge of a whole kingdom. If you don't put things right with God, then whether or not you're wearing the hat, you're a fool. God needs to be your king. Do you want to go and sit down? Well, not all of you, because Alistair is going to stay and he's going to tell us what the next song is, I think. Where's Alistair gone?
Brilliant. Ago, and Alice is going to tell us the name of this song.
King of Me.
Okay, so it's King of Me. And I said to Alice yesterday, what do you like about this song? And we were talking about the chorus, and the lines are, my God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me. And you told me that you liked the line, my God's the king of the lions. And when I asked why, he said, well, isn't that because there was a story about a king that didn't like someone and they got chucked into the lions, but God saved. So that was true, wasn't it? So it reminded you of that story about Daniel. So that's a great example of like word and worship coming together and all being one. So this is a great song. And it's got a few actions for the chorus. So where it says, my God's the king of the giants, if we could just reach as high as we can. Excellent. My God's the king of the lions, so fierce as you can. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep, so go low. And then my God's the king, this is the crown, of me. So giants, lions, creatures of the deep, and then king of me. Okay, let's stand and enjoy. So this is King of Me.
My God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions.
do please sit down. We invite those going out to their different groups to make their way there now.
Okay, so I'm going to continue with a few songs now. I can invite you to stand if you wish and you'd like to. I'm going to sing The Lion and the Lamb, and a verse very biblically driven, and it conjures up a great image, doesn't it? The lion, the strength and the power of God and Jesus, and yet the softness and the sensitivity of the lamb that was a sacrifice for us. So this song, The Lion and the Lamb, speaks of that. And as you're singing it, I just want you to think, what line, what part of this song do you need? Do you need to know the strength and the reminder of the power of God? Do you need to know that he's with you, for you, fighting those battles? Or do you need to know actually the gentleness of the Lamb with you? So let's stand and sing The Lion and the Lamb.
Coming on the clouds, King and kingdoms will.
maybe just a moment in your mind, physically, doesn't need to be, but in your mind and your heart, just to bow that knee and to recognize that this is the Lord Almighty and that nothing stops his plans and his purposes. That we recognize that you are powerful and mighty and yet with us and gentle. May we respond to you this morning, not just with words, but our lives. Show us yourself again, Lord, that we may dwell in your presence and know that it is a good place.
Please sit down. The band are going to continue to sing in a moment. There'll be some pictures behind me. And after that, we're going to be quiet together. It's not because I've forgotten what to do next. It's because it's good to be quiet together in the Lord's presence. But the band are going to sing now, and then we'll take a moment or two to be quiet. Thank you.
We bow down.
in these prayers when I use the phrase, we come to you, let's respond with, in faith we come to you. Lord God, in the quietness we bring you the crashing noise of our thoughts. We come to you. In faith we come to you. Lord, we pray for your presence in those corners of the world where there is weeping today. We pray for the families of the police officers caught up in this week's Paris attack. We pray for those who have lost husbands, fathers, sons and daughters to the persecution of the Christian church around the world. We come to you. In faith, we come to you. Lord God, we bring to you the angry streets and dangerous places of the world. Hong Kong, Iraq, the Yemen, and Syria still. We come to you. In faith, we come to you. Lord God, we bring to you every church and chapel, every cathedral and minster, every house church and gathering where people who love you will lift their voices today. We come to you. In faith we come to you. Lord God, to you we bring the people we love, near and far, weak and strong, estranged and close. Let them know your touch today, we pray. We come to you. In faith we come to you. Amen. Father, for your gifts too many to mention, for your generosity which knows no bounds, we thank you. And we ask that you would accept these gifts and bless them in the service of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow with ceaseless grace.
Luke's Gospel. Now Anne's going to come and read to us. Thank you.
The reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Thanks to God.
Thank you, Anne. Simon liked to think of himself as broad-minded. Cutting edge, maybe, as Pharisees go. Oh, his narrow-minded friends wouldn't agree, of course. They wouldn't be seen dead with some freewheeling radical sitting at their table. But in his book, Jesus was quite a catch. Why, only last week he'd brought a boy back from the dead, and now here he was sitting at Simon's table. As he looked around, Simon smiled to himself. The looks on the faces of his guests were a picture, a mixture of apprehension and fascination. What would Jesus do? The table did Simon credit. There was fish prepared according to the strictest rabbinic rules, its scent mingling with the rich aroma of olives. Here and there were bunches of grapes, their skins bursting with juice as they caught the evening sun. That's when a shadow caught Simon's eye. There it was, crossing over the open courtyard and falling now over the very shoulders of Jesus. Now, for a visitor to come in at the end of a meal asking for pickings from the table was not unusual. Even to give them something could be good, just as long as someone was there to admire your charity. But not now. Not like this. The woman's jewellery jangled obscenely as all conversation stopped. Bending down, the aroma of her body, strange to some and inviting to others, seemed to fill the room. With a flick of a jeweled wrist, she loosed her hair, loosed it here at his table. She might as well have lifted her dress up over her head and flung it in Simon's lap. How dare she? Hardly daring to move, he checked the faces of his guests, some appalled, some intrigued, all relieved that their table had not been so disgraced. And now a new smell filled the room. It was sweet and heady and almost overpowering. It was perfume, that woman's perfume, trickling down over the feet of Jesus as she wept openly, shamelessly, cosseting them with her hair and anointing them. This was appalling. chin in his hand, Simon could feel the redness creeping into his face, the sweat gathering in his palms. His heart beat so loud he was sure Jesus could hear it. "Simon," Jesus said, and began to weave some story about a man in debt. At first it was a distraction, a relief, but then Simon had the uncomfortable feeling that Jesus was reading his mind, maybe even writing him into the story. How dare he? "Oh, yes, yes, yes," Simon blustered as the story ended. "Of course the man should forgive. He was a Pharisee, after all, and moral discussions were bread and butter to him." But then he fell silent as Jesus went on talking. Every word seemed to batter on the door of his pride and pretense. Every phrase seemed to peel something away like the layers of an onion grafted onto his very flesh. "You gave me no water. Ow! You gave me no kiss of greeting. Ow! You gave me no oil of anointing. Ow! She is forgiven. Ow!" Long after the guests had gone and the servants had cleared the table, Simon sat in the dark, turning the broken perfume bottle over in his hands. Its scent still stung his nostrils as the words of Jesus stung his heart. If her love was so great because of her forgiveness, why was there so little love in his heart? Shaking his head, he crushed the remaining fragments of the bottle in his hand and let them fall as dust to the ground. I can't really decide whether to sympathize with Simon or be infuriated by him. To coin a phrase, I can't really decide whether to hug him or hit him. I can't choose between saying, "Oh, you poor thing," or saying, "Oh, you stupid man." And part of my dilemma, I'm afraid, is because he's too familiar. You see, if I look in the mirror, I am far more likely to see his awkwardness than I am to see her extravagance. If I look in the mirror, I'm far more likely to see someone who will emulate his embarrassed reticence than one who will show her great extravagance in the instinctive reaction which she showed to Jesus and which I showed to him in my worship. You see, if we place ourselves anywhere in that story, the safe middle ground is to be one of the guests at the dinner. You know, we'd all love to be there. We'd all love to see this going on in somebody else's house. But that is so not the point of this story. In the story that you've just heard, we've either got to be him or her. We've either got to be bowled over by his irrepressible love and grace, overwhelmed by his forgiveness, or we've got to be embarrassed by it. It's one or the other. Either we yield to the flow of his irrepressible grace and we bathe in his unquenchable love, or we step away and we're embarrassed by it. And I don't know which you are, but Christian, you've got to come back to him. You've got to come back to where it started. Don't end up like Simon, knowing all the answers but living not a single one of them. Don't end up like the church of Ephesus, to whom Jesus comes in a book of Revelation and he says, "You're brave, tick. You're pure, tick. You're busy, tick. You're hardworking, tick." But ultimately, they were hollow. Because, says Jesus, you lost your first love. And you're just doing the things and going through the motions. Listen again to these, perhaps the most tender prophetic words in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 14. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we might offer the fruit of our lips. And then God comes back and he says, I'll heal their waywardness. I'll love them freely. My anger has turned away. I'll be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He'll send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade, and they will flourish like the grain. It's time to come back to that place where you started when you had no experience and no track record and no achievements in the service of the church to hold up before him. But you just had a convicted heart and you said, it's your way or no way, and you must forgive me or I perish. You need to come back, maybe alongside the story that I told the children, and make sure you're the fool and not the king. You need to feel the size of your forgiven debt. You need to peer into the depths of his love for you. Listen, leave Simon the Pharisee to be angry or puzzled or whatever else he is, and fall again at the feet of Jesus, amazed and transformed by his grace, and knowing as you do so that past and present and future are all in his hands. Let's be quiet and we're going to pray together. Father, for the enormity of your forgiveness, for the depths of your love, we bring you our thanks. And if we have forgotten, then bring us back and convict us once again of what it means to be saved. How good it feels to know that we are forgiven. Father, today, we thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. We close with a hymn written by someone who made a horrible mess of his life. Got caught up in perhaps the most disgusting trade that has ever plied to and fro across the world. Human traffic, slavery. But then convicted that it was wrong and he'd done the wrong thing. We're going to stand up and sing together, Amazing Grace. Thank you. And now we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.